Thank you.
All right, well, good evening. It's good to see you all here. Hope you had a good New Year's Eve. We had lots of excitement at the Potter household. This was the first year the girls were allowed to stay up until midnight. Yeah, so they look a little bit tired today. You know why. So they stayed up eating snacks, and what do they say? It wasn't what they thought. Not as exciting as I thought it would be. Like, you could, I do this all the time. It's not as much fun for me either. So, anyway, hope you had a good New Year's with your family or whoever you were celebrating with. And in case you didn't notice, Pastor Slagle is away. He's in Minnesota visiting his family. He should be back, I don't know, Friday night, Saturday morning, somewhere in there. And so he shall return. So just so that you're aware. And so if you think of it, pray for him. Also, remember, if you think of it, I didn't know this, but Velma Carbonara passed away this past week. And then I believe today her sister also passed away. And I guess they've been very close for a number of years. And so on Saturday, we're having a combined funeral. So it's interesting that they would die just a few days apart. And so Saturday, we'll have a funeral for Velma and her sister, Ruby Walsh. And visitation will be from 9 to 11. And then there'll be a service at starting at 11 o'clock. So Saturday, if you can come, that would be a blessing. You don't know what's happening? All right. Well, I'm just going to start here. You can fiddle. I think you guys can hear me, hopefully. All right, that's good. All right, that was my answer. I want to tell you one of my favorite stories. It's called The Magic Thread. And this is a very old story. But a boy was, like most boys, was sitting in school one day, and he felt like this is just taking entirely too long. I wish I was out, looking out the window, he thought, I wish I was out there having fun with my friends. And so he's walking back home from school, and as he walks through the woods, he sees an old lady who walks up to him, and she tells him, are you bored? And he said, yes, my life is very boring. And so she says, I have something for you to make your life more exciting. It's this golden ball, and it has a thread in it. And every time you pull the thread, you'll jump ahead in time. And so he says, oh, this is a great idea. But she warns him. She says, you can only pull thread out. You can't put thread back in. It doesn't work that way. And so he says, I'm not worried. He's a kid. Kids don't worry, right? There's no danger if you're a kid. So he takes it, takes the magic ball with him. The next day he's sitting in class, and he's starting to doze off. He's sitting in science class, starting to doze off. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm getting nods. And he pulls it, and class is over. He thinks, this is the best thing I've ever thought of. And so he goes to lunch, which if you, want, you don't want to pull the thread on lunchtime, right? But then lunch is over. It's like back to class. He's like, I don't want to do this. So he pulls it, and he skips, and he says, this is wonderful. The next day comes. He says, why do I go to school at all? Why can't I just graduate? And so he pulls the thread, and poof, it's graduation day, and he's so happy. And he graduates, and he's so thankful. And they say, I'm sure you've learned a lot. And he says, I'm sure. And he graduates. But then a little bit later, he thinks, I'm alone and sad. If only I could find someone in my life. So he pulls a few more inches, and poof, the lady of his dreams, he's dating her. And he's so excited. He's a young man by now. He thinks, but he can't marry her right away. It's going to be a little bit of time. He's got to work and save. And he thinks, I just can't wait that long. I want to be with this person. So he pulls the thread further. It's his wedding day. He's so happy. They get married, and things are lovely. But then she starts to make these demands on his time. And he has to help her with things. He has to kind of fix things. He's got to be home and do this and do that. He thinks, this is too much work. We'd be so much happier if we had a few kids. So he pulls the string, and poof, there are five kids. He tries to push it back in, but it's too late. Poof, there's the five kids. And they all need his time, his attention. And he's like, oh, little kids are so much work. This is so difficult. He wasn't getting enough sleep at night. And his boss was yelling at him. And he thought, oh, this is too much. So he pulls a bunch of the string, and poof, they're grown up. And he thought, this is so much easier. This is living, right? This is so much more manageable. But then he after a while, he never sees his kids. And he thinks, man, if I had grandkids. So he pulls the string, and there are the grandkids. And they're so much fun. But they only visit so many months out of the year, and the rest of the time it's just him and his wife. And the house isn't as exciting as it once was. There's not all the action. And some of the days he has aches and pains and doesn't feel good. And so one day he decides just to pull the string so he can spend time with his grandkids. And he goes to pull the string, and it comes out of the ball. There's no more string. And the old lady appears. And she said, there's no more string to pull. And she says, you already made all your decisions. That's it. He says, I'll give you two options. You can live out the last month of your life, or you can start all over again, but you can't pull any string. And you can guess what he picks. He says, I want to live all over again. So he goes back to being a child again. And he goes to school, and it takes forever, and he's so excited. He says, I get to live. I have friends. I have a life. I get to experience the everyday things. And so he realizes this has a lesson in this, that a lot of times life is the everyday things that we do. And a lot of times life happens when we don't even know that we're waiting for it to happen, and it's happening as we're waiting for it to happen. And, you know, we look for the great big huge things to happen, the giant miracles, but a lot of times everyday little things we do for the Lord, and that's what really mattered most. And I think time is a really funny thing. And a lot of times we don't even realize what the Lord is doing with time, and we don't realize all the implications. I'm going to talk about time. We're going to look in Psalm 90, verse 12. Psalm 90, and if you think I've preached this before, this is number 6 from I've preached from this psalm since I've been at Marquette. So now some of you, I've changed illustrations. You won't recognize this. Okay, you're just illustrations. That's fine. But hopefully you take away what I'm saying. Psalm 90, if you don't have a Bible in front of you, you take the black Bible in the pew in front of you. That's page 888. You know, time is a funny thing. Sometimes time can be our friend, right? You ever do something? Maybe you have a hot cup of chocolate. You're sitting in front of fire with a book. And you've got all kinds of free time. You're like, oh, I hope this never ends, right? And it's so wonderful. Or if you have time to sleep in on a Saturday, you're like, oh, this feels so good. I have all this time. Or if you ever talk to a close friend and you just like lose all track of time, someone you haven't seen in a long time, and you haven't seen them in like 10 years, but it seems like it's been like one day. You just pick up where you've left off, and you're like, I think this, yeah, I think that, yeah. I have an older brother, and I think I talk to him like once every 6 months, maybe once every year, but we'll talk for like 2 hours. It's like everything he says I agree with. Oh, yeah, yeah. He'll mention something. Yeah, I'm into that too. And then we won't talk for a long time because we're guys. But I just think that's so funny how you can lose all track of time when you're doing something you enjoy. But on the other hand, sometimes time can be tyrannical, can't it? And you have the pressure and the stress. Oh, I got to get this paper done, or this job is due, or I got to get my taxes done. And if I don't get this deadline in, and, you know, time can be something that's difficult for us to deal with. Time is something that God has invented. God invented time, because God didn't have time before. Time is something that God dreamed up. I think we should make time, and he made it. You know why he gave you time? You can only do one thing at a time. Like, we have a hard time doing more than, I said time more once in a sentence. We have a difficult task doing more things. We can only keep track of so many things at once. And so God gave us time to separate things. So we have different seasons, right? This is this season, this is this season, this is this season. And so we know what we can focus on different seasons, and that can kind of get us through. Because if we had to think about everything like God does, it would be too much for our minds to comprehend. So God gave us this time. So tonight's lesson, I'm going to talk about the importance of the time that God has given us. Now, Psalm 90 is written by Moses, and it's a prayer. And he prays to God. He's going to pray to God about time and the valuable resource that we have, the stewardship that God gives us this time. And it'll talk about how, I'm not going to cover the whole thing, but part of it is how God deals with time and views time, and part of it is how man views time and how man deals with time. And I'll just summarize the part about God. It talks about how God exists even before time. And this is hard for us to comprehend. What did God do before time? You ever wonder, what was he doing before man, before earth? What was he doing all day? Well, there was no day. It just, he constantly talks about, he just exists. He is. He calls himself the great I am. I just exist. He doesn't need to have things to do like we do. He doesn't need to be validated by an activity. He can commune with himself as a Trinity. So in eternity, before time, he just was, and that was enough. And then he starts the universe, and he starts time with it. He gives us days. And so, is God inside time? Is God outside time? many trees have been chopped down trying to answer this question. I'm going to say both things are true. God is both outside time and inside time. And God is the inventor. God is the master of time. God is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. So he acts in time to help us. We think about Christ, Galatians 4:4. He came in the fullness of time. He knew when salvation was at the place where it could be presented. And he used the Roman culture, the languages, the roads, the customs, to spread the gospel throughout the world. He knew exactly the right time for when Christ would come and die for the world's sins. And we know that God doesn't change. We know that from Hebrews. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so time doesn't put stress and pressure on God like it puts stress and pressure on me and you. I feel stressed by time regularly. I have deadlines and I'm panicking, okay? Just like everybody else. So this is something that we deal with. On the other hand, it talks about how man is limited by time. Our years are numbered. God put a limit on how long we're supposed to live. All of us have an expiration date. This is morbid to think about. I think about the end of my life all the time. Maybe I'm just a morbid person. Maybe I've been to a lot of funerals. But I realize that every day is a gift from God that he doesn't have to give us. And, you know, I think about this. How will I be remembered at the end of it? And when you're a kid, you think, boy, there's just way too much time in the day. I just can't take this. I need to go somewhere or do something. And when you're an adult, you're like, yeah, 5 o'clock. You're like, oh, man, how long have we been here? We've been here for 3 hours. Oh, where you lay down and I tend to fall asleep when I'm not supposed to. But, yeah, but time can pass and not off. And I think, oh, I got to watch myself and be very careful. So the way God deals with time is different than how man deals with time. And so we'll talk about this song. Let's begin with prayer. I know that was a long introduction. And then we'll work through this verse together. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that you are over time. You're the Alpha and the Omega, Lord. You're before time, you're after time, you're the beginning, you're the end, you're the in-between. We pray, Lord, that you would help us as we're limited by time. Lord, we need your help, as this verse will talk about. And help us to be productive this year. Help us to use our time with wisdom. And may we please you, we ask in your name. Amen. All right, so Psalm 90, verse 12. Moses writes, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Teach us to count our days. And so here's our two lessons about the importance of time. All right, here comes lesson number one, the first half of the verse. Number one is we need to develop a good time management plan. We need to develop good time management plans. Teach us to number our days. Help us to count the days. Help us to realize we don't have an infinite number of days. We need to have our time management skills in how we deal with things. Okay, we can't be wasting hours and hours of time. A little confession here. There's this game I love, baseball, but it takes hours and hours. I mean, sometimes it's 3 hours, and if you're lucky, you might get four even. I remember going to games as kids and being like, oh, it'd be like the 10th inning, woohoo! You know, of course, my daughters all roll their eyes at me, but if I'm a good time manager, I can't watch every baseball game. I'm just going to put, I figured this out very quickly that I can watch highlights later. But that's not good. That's not the best resource of my time as a father, is just to watch all 162 games, although I'd love to, believe me. But that's not good. That's not good management of the Lord's resources and time that he's given me. So we have to be wise. So God has given us the gift of time. He's entrusted it to us. We're stewards, okay? He gives us a gift, and then it's ours to manage. But ultimately, it's his because he gave it to us. And so we'll have to give an account of how we used our time. So it's important we're not time wasters. So how will we spend the resources that he gives us? And the Bible talks about this frequently. Proverbs 19:18 says, chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not his soul spare for his crying while there is hope. There's a season for reaching young people's hearts. God made him small for a reason. God made you big for a reason, okay? You should have physical dominance. Now, I'm not saying that you do anything that would be hurtful, but they need to develop the pecking order. They need to learn the order of life. And there's a season. It's a lot easier to give a couple sweats to a 5-year-old. You can't give a couple sweats to a 21-year-old. Doesn't work the same, right? That's going to be a lot more difficult task. So there's a season with kids where you can reach them, and they're impressionable. Solomon writes to young people in Ecclesiastes. He says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. You have strength and energy for a period of time." I'm not old, but I don't have energy like I once did in some areas. And I think I'm still pretty awesome shape here, but I'm working on it anyway. But there's that window God gives you, that the health and strength. How will you use that? And Solomon talks about this. I heard a story this past week of a man who finally got saved in his old age. After many years, he eventually came to Christ. He comes forward in the service. They have an invitation. He makes the decision, "I want to trust Christ and take him on as my Savior." And after he's saved, he cries. And the pastor says, "Why are you crying?" And he says, "You know what? I realize all those years of my life have been wasted. All those years I could have been serving Christ if I just accepted this sooner. And now what do I have? I have regret that I look back on. All the things that I put so much energy and time into that were just so worthless." And so it's important that we use the time that God has given us, like Solomon said. Paul talks about in Ephesians. He talks about redeeming the time because the days are evil. Buy back the times. That it's like, I think of this verse reminds me of like the fish, and the stream is flowing down, and he tries to swim opposite. And it's like the world around us. It's pushing us towards evil. And if we don't manage our time resource, we'll be pushed off in a direction we don't really want to go. And so it's important that we make the most of the time that we have, and we snatch up those moments that God gives us, and we don't get pulled into the influence of the world. I wonder, how do you use your time? How do you see the resource of time? Is it just, it's your chance to relax? And I think our culture is a culture of play, isn't it? That's like the thing people value the most. If you could do something, but it would require sacrifice and work, but it would have impact for Christ over here, or do you want to go on a 5-month cruise? People are like, "Oh, the 5-month cruise for sure." You know, it's sad to see how much we value play, and that's like our top priority. And I'm not trashing cruises, but I wonder, what's our priority? What's the most important thing that we do? And I wonder, how do we view the resource of time? Do we see it as something that God has given us? Or is it something we just kind of fritter away and do a lot of things that maybe enrich ourselves but aren't really helpful to people around us, don't really help us grow spiritually, you know, those kind of things. So our first lesson is, if we're gonna follow the teaching on managing our time, we need to be wise stewards of our time, good time managers. The second area this points out, it says that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. The idea is we need God's wisdom to know what we should be doing. We need God's wisdom. If we're going to be wise with our time, we're going to recognize the resource God has given us, it's going to take wisdom. Now, how many of you think, "Oh, man, it's easy to know what to do. I already know what I should do. I have all these ideas. I have all these plans." If you can think of all the plans and ideas you have and you're 100% confident in yourself and what you think you're going to do, the Bible calls you a wicked person. Did you know this? If you think you know what's going on, "Oh, I got this all figured out, I got this plan." Twice I can think of, I'm going to preach on this Sunday night, but two different places in the Scripture, it talks about how wicked you are. If you think you have it figured out, we need wisdom to see what we should do. God made us to depend upon Him. It's not just what our plans are. "Oh, I'm going to go make this money over here, and I'm going to achieve this status and that status and be this successful and buy this car and notice this. That's how the wicked person thinks according to the Scripture. We have to have wisdom to know even what we should do. We need God's help. We need to pray for help. And we have what we think are good plans, but ultimately we have to depend upon God to know what is the correct thing. I think about Acts 16 and Paul. And Paul has this great plan. And this is Paul. I mean, what does Paul ever fail at, right? Not too much. He's really awesome. Whatever you think about who's ever preaching you like, I'm going to tell you Paul's infinitely better at it, greatest preacher. He goes places, miracles are happening, people are getting saved. So one day Paul's like, "I got this plan from the Lord. I need to go to Asia. I'm going to preach the gospel. People are going to get saved. Sounds like a good plan, right? Well, when the time comes, he's hindered by the Holy Spirit. He can't go. And instead, he's redirected to Macedonia. Just think, Paul the Apostle. Just think of his plan. How can you say this is a bad plan? Mission trips. I'm all about mission trips, right? Everything sounds wonderful, and yet it's not what the Lord has. So the Lord stops him. And you know, sometimes we can have the best of intentions. We can work super hard. We can have ideas. And yet, if it's not what the Lord has in mind or not the right time, the Lord can stop us. The Lord can redirect us. You ever start a day thinking you're going to do one thing, and then something else comes up, and you're like, I didn't even see that happening at all. I have always had plans and ideas and things I want to do, and sometimes I come in here and not a single thing gets done that I think should be done. But the Lord knows. The Lord knows what needs to be done. The Lord has his own priority list, and it's more important than mine. And someone I met, maybe I need to be ministered to, maybe I need to minister to somebody else. Maybe I'm just too focused on, you know, turning out papers and writing emails and making phone calls. Maybe that's not what I was supposed to do today. So we need to be open to what the Lord has. We need to have wisdom. Now, what is wisdom? I'm going to say wisdom is more than just intelligence. There's a lot of intelligent people that do dumb things, and they're very great at how they explain it, but it's still wrong. Wisdom, some have defined it, living skillfully. Wisdom is seeing life through God's point of view and living a life that would please God, seeing that, you know, God sees the big picture, making wise choices. And so we need God's help. We should be spending time in prayer. We should be spending time in the Word and asking God, what should I do? And, you know, it's not just doing the most. We think if we can accomplish the most, then we've won. It's not that. It's finding the missions that God has for us. It's not just being the most efficient or making the most money or talking to the most people. I'm going to say this, as Americans, American Christians are like this. I can say this. We like to talk about the things we're achieving for the Lord. Oh, I read all this, or I talked to 8 people. And it's good that we have motivation and desire, but if that's not what the Lord's goal is, it doesn't matter how much you achieve in that area. Okay, the goal is to do what the Lord wants you to do. And my self-esteem isn't tied to how spiritual I've made myself, if that makes any sense. It's not just a matter of, I think sometimes we reduce Christianity just to raw achievement, okay? But it's finding what the Lord has for you and not missing the big picture of what he wants to do. So let's keep our focus on what the Lord has. Be opening to interruptions or other things the Lord brings into your life. You know, sometimes the Lord wants you to minister to somebody and you didn't see him there. But not being so hanging on to what we think we should do so much. But hopefully we're open to what we think. I think of this story. There's a man named Joshua Burwell, and he was visiting the Sunset Cliffs of San Diego. And it was the sunset. It was beautiful. Beautiful day. And rather than looking up at the sunset, he got a really urgent text message. And so he's walking and he's texting. And that person writes, oh, that's wrong. He texts back. And he texts and texts and texts and texts to the point that he actually walks off the edge of the cliff to his death. And beautiful sunset, never sees it. Doesn't pay attention. He's so intent on that text message. And, you know, the Lord has something for us sometimes, but we can have such a narrow focus on what we think our little goals and plans are. Sometimes we miss what God's trying to do when God interrupts us. Well, I should say interrupts us. I put that in quotes, what we think we should be doing. Let's be open to what the Lord has for us, and let's truly be wise. Let's be managers of our time on the one hand, and on the other hand, let's seek the Lord and what he has for us and be open to his direction and his leading. And so I've given you a homework assignment. You should have got the paper when you came in. Goals for your year. I think we should be intentional in what we do. But I try to make goals for every year I try to make goals this time of year. I've been doing it since I was in college. I don't know how many years that is. And I would, well, even before college, in high school I made goals. I would tape it to my bunk bed. And then every morning when I woke up, I'd look at it. Depending on how good the year was going, either I felt awesome or sometimes I felt like a failure. But there it was. But I realized after several years that my goals fit into 3 categories. There's personal goals I have for myself. That might be developing a talent God's given me. Might be reading a book or studying a topic. Could be some kind of exercise goal, physical health. Could be paying off a debt. Could be developing a life skill. But this is something that's enriching me. Then I figure out the second type of goals I typically have. Family goals. This could be a relationship. It could be praying for a sibling that needs encouragement. It could be, I have goals for my kids, things I want them to do this year that I'm going to be strongly encouraging them. I have goals for my wife and I. We got to grow in our relationship. Marriage is work, right? And being a good husband is not easy. And I'm not always awesome at it, so I need to step up my game. Did you know this? Did you guys know this? Maybe bring home flowers every once in a while, stuff like that. And those kind of things go a long way. Family goals could be maybe a parent that needs encouragement or help. I try to regularly call my grandmother. She's much older, but she's always excited to talk to me. Something like that. It doesn't take long. It's meaningful. So family goals. And then third, I have spiritual goals. Maybe you want to read through the scripture this year. That's something that would be helpful. I'm all about prayer lists because I can't keep track of all the missionaries. I try, but I have lists. I have it divided by days. I have some things I pray for every day. I pray for Pastor Slagle, Mr. Sherwin, my wife, my parents, my father-in-law, my kids. And then I have stuff broken out by days. Different members that I pray for everyone here. You guys, try to pray for all of you at some point, but it's a different day. Yes, the church family, we need it. Did you know this? That's good. Anytime anyone wants to pray for me, I won't stop them. It's all helpful. So I try to break those down. And then maybe someone you need to witness to more, or a track goal, or a character quality. If there's something you need to work on, maybe listening, being better at listening, or maybe there's something the Lord's put in your life that you know, patience or whatever. Whatever that is, you know what that is. And you can always pray the Lord will direct you. But I encourage you, if you want to fill out that paper, I'm going to make this homework. You can take it home with you. But just look over that, and then I would post it somewhere where you can look at it regularly and be reminded and see what happens. And they've done studies, if you write stuff down, you're 80% more likely to do it. That's a ballpark figure. I don't remember the exact study, but it was a Harvard study like this. Just writing stuff down made you more likely to do it. And then if you add accountability, you're at like 96%. So I make a list every year. I post it on the bulletin board next to my desk. I look at it every day. It reminds me of how awesome I am. I had 12 goals last year, and I missed 1.5 of them. Yeah, so that's good for me. And they weren't even super hard goals. Some of them weren't super hard. I did all the hardest ones. The ones I missed weren't even that hard, but just keeping track of time. So anyway, I encourage you to write down. It's got to be something measurable. I want to feed all the poor people in the world. Well, that's hard to measure that one. So I try to make it something. There's a metric where I could see how I did. So, or if witnessing, you could say I want to witness to 100 people. Well, you could quantify that, right? You could measure that. And I recognize hitting that number doesn't make you more spiritual or less spiritual. And if your goal is to witness to 100 people and you hit 100, don't stop, right? It was just a piece of paper and a number. Let's not miss the bigger picture of what God wants to do in our lives. Okay, so it's a piece of paper. I don't always hit all the numbers, but just having that goal there, that desire, I think the Lord can use that and can help us be effective for Him. All right, was that helpful? I think so. All right, that was a lot of talking, I know. Well, let us pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for the time that You've given us, and help us to make the most of it. Help us to have Your priorities, and help us not to waste the gifts that You've given us. And Lord, we thank You for those who have come tonight, and You encourage and strengthen them this year. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.